For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Mots, we are back, episode 157 of The Rink Shrinks. What do you say? You ready to go?
Let's go.
This episode is presented by BetOnline. The holiday season is off and rolling with NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. With up-to-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four, BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that's played, from the MMA to international soccer, you name it. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So what's going on, my man?
Nothing much here. Just excited to be back chatting with you, recording a mailbag episode. I feel like we've been pumping out episodes. We had, Thanksgiving. We had some great interviews. And now it's time to get to the mailbag, which is always a blast, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I know we appreciate everyone that, kind of sends in their questions, their comments, their thoughts, and keeps us going. So pumped to dip into the mailbag.
And it's tryout week here in high schools and prep schools just wrapped up. So it's definitely going to be, the mailbag is going to, it's going to be like, your mailbox on Christmas time, right? The mailman's busy this time of year. It's fair to say.
It is fair to say. And, the Amazon box is already starting to show up on the porch.
Oh, God. Yeah. Don't even get me going.
Yeah. So, as far as, getting, out and boots on the ground for the mailmen during this time of year, we appreciate your services. But
absolutely,
it hurts the wallet, man. It hurts the wallet, though.
It does. It definitely does. A couple family members that worked in the industry. So it's good stuff. All right, let's get into this mailbag right off the rip here. I'll take the first question, Mots. My son has always been a bubble player for the most part. Top AA, lower AAA, blah, blah, blah. He made varsity at his high school team in Michigan as a freshman and absolutely loves it. Even before the season has really started and has gotten exponentially better in the last few months. I'm sure it doesn't hurt that he finally started growing and putting a few pounds on. My question is this. Are there split season teams or specific tournament teams or anything that he could do to get noticed in order to stay on a high school team instead of ultimately leaving for AAA and missing the school experience and normal life of a teen? I feel like that would be the best of both worlds. He, like most kids, have high aspirations, and I'd like to focus on school and having fun.
It's great stuff. I mean, it's kind of an interesting dynamic now where there are full season teams outside of your high school team, right?
Yes.
So I agree with wanting to have the experience of high school socially, academically, and being part of a team. I think that should be priority number one. I know, that's what I would want for my kid. Yep. Really. But like you can speak to it a little bit more, as a parent and a coach of, this kind of weird like U14 like time where there's some kids playing as freshmen and or eighth graders and some not. So you need to be able to like supplement that team, that group, but it's individually, say specific. Right. From player to player, you have to make the right decision. So as far as I'm concerned, I would absolutely want my son or daughter to be able to play on the high school team, enjoy that, you know, even if you're not in the lineup or whatever, like as a freshman, you're still part of the group. You're still part of like the, you know, experience of being on a team in high school. And then, yes, you can supplement, but I'm not really familiar with, you know, the AAA versus high school out in Michigan. But like out here, it would be, I think it's like all or nothing. Meaning like you commit to the high school or you commit to the AAA.
Yeah, so I would, I'm looking at it like from kind of the same perspective as you. Like I think this kid's on the right path by playing high school hockey, and now he grew and he's like kind of, all right, let's see what we can make of this thing. During the winter months, during the high school season, is not the time to be supplementing and right. worried about getting on people's lists and things like that. If he's playing well in high school hockey, especially in a state like Michigan, he's going to get some looks. You know, at least coaches talking about him. Like you're talking about Michigan. Like it's not like we're talking about wherever. Alabama. Like, yeah, Alabama or like.
It's a hockey market.
It's a hockey market. But what I would look into is the, you know, talking with his coach and supplementing in the spring and the summertime, right? Yep. And whether it's the USA Hockey type festivals, the you know, like I know the Mass Hockey does the Mass Hockey Festival where you can try out, and then they send the top kids that are selected to you know, the select 15, you know, 14s, 15s, 16s out in, you know, I know those have been held in Rochester the last few years and things like that, and I know Michigan it would be represented there as well, right? So that would be my focus, and that's something that I think your high school coach out there will be able to help guide you through and get you on the right track. You know, then also there's a lot of things that happen here out east, the Beantown Classics, the Chowder Cups, there's you know, the Shamrock Shootouts. Like there's tons of tournaments where teams from Minnesota, Michigan, they bring their spring teams out and get, so it just keep your you know, your ears open for those different things, and you know, try out for them and do what you got to do to stay kind of on the radar. But like you said, Mots, the best experience that you're going to get right now developmentally is like you made that varsity high school team as a freshman, as a young kid. Yeah. You're growing. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. And invaluable experiences, like, just, you know, not just on the ice. So I do feel like if you stay the course and play in your high school as a younger player, it, like, there's so many more benefits.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, I got this next one. My son is a first-year squirt, 8 years old. He plays club this year. There are new kids to the team. They played their first two games this weekend and lost both. The scores were like 10-0 each. I feel like they are just figuring each other out. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, first-year squirt, they're young, they're 8. New kids on the team. I just look to get better and improve each week. That's the biggest thing. You're going to take some lumps. They're a young team. You know, some of these teams have probably been together for 3 and 4 years, but just like baby steps, and don't get frustrated. Stay positive and make sure that that entire team wants to keep coming back to the rink and having a blast doing it. It's not always going to be easy.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, they like you said, they're young, yeah. But you also want to have, like, and I live this as well, you know, as a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have, like, say, the best team per se, but you want to, like you said, you want to make sure that they're continuing to have fun. It's a game that you want to be excited to show up at the rink. You know, the scores are the scores at times, but as long as it's like incremental improvement from week to week, you know, practice to practice, from game to game, you know, you don't need to always win, but you do have to win enough to like keep the kids engaged.
Right.
But I do feel like sometimes it's tough when you're getting pumped to always spin like a positive, you know? Yeah. So, you just got to stay the course. In my opinion, this is a, you know, a very important time to kind of cultivate the love of the game too. right? Yep. You know, you want to keep them coming back and enjoying their time at the rink versus, you know, being like, oh, we're going in and like, you know, you're not going to win or whatever. Like, you have to still stay positive with it. And, you know, and it's, and again, early, that they're young.
Make sure the coaches aren't screaming at the kids. Make sure the parents aren't screaming.
Yeah, because the frustration can happen, right? Because
the frustration can definitely happen.
Yeah, and you want to make sure that you stay above that.
Definitely. Franklin Sports is the official street hockey partner of the National Hockey League. Check out their line of official NHL street hockey games and training equipment at franklinsports.com today. Hey, the holidays are around the corner, right? Load up on those Franklin Sports little you know, off-ice stick handling tools. There's so many things. Nets, right? Mini nets, mini sticks. Go to franklinsports.com. They have it all there right online.
And that just reminded me of, you know, so I got a Franklin Street hockey net back in the day. And, you know, it was the night before Christmas. And I'm stringing it up. And, like, you know, I'm like, oh, this thing's going to be money.
Yeah.
I put in, like, the wrong piece, but I had already started stringing it. So, like to this day, we still have it, and it's like just like you know,
it's just a little off.
It's just a little.
You got an elbow going the wrong way.
I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, not that it really mattered, but it mattered to me because yeah. I know, like I see it. I'm like, oh, but we still have it.
Yeah, your eye. One of your posts got an extra arm sticking out of it or something.
It's like unbelievable. But yeah, make sure you check out franklinsports.com and you know, get your off-ice training equipment and needs through Franklin and yeah,
just make work sure on you don't off the ice. And then when you're setting up the nets, make sure you read the directions.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like, who needs directions? I thought, you know.
Yeah.
but ultimately I'm like, oh god, like that just stings me. Like I legit had to move it the other day and I'm like, ugh, I'm looking at it, but like it's tight. I mean, like the netting is tight, but like I just put in like one, like whatever. It was bad.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right. When should the parents of the opposing team that is winning stop screaming and clapping after each goal when it gets to a certain point? Am I old-fashioned for expecting some type of class? Just be positive for both teams, especially at a young age.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Standard.
It is a standard.
But it's, you know what? That is a hell of a question. And it really shouldn't be a question, but there's so many idiots out there.
I know.
That don't know.
But I would say, I mean.
If your team's up by 5 goals. I
was going to say five goals is kind of like the max. Like,
yes.
Or minimum, whatever you want to call it. Where like you're like, hey, all right. You know, just be happy that, you know, they're out there playing. And, you know you already kind of like have this advantage of, you know, being a better team or whatever. So I would say, yeah. Act like you've been there before, parents. When I would say 4 goals is the threshold. 5, definitely. You just, you know, you don't clap.
But so even at a young age, if the kids are they're up 8-0, even if it's your kid's first goal of the season or whatever, like there's no reason to cheer.
Yeah,
you shouldn't like talk to them afterwards, but. I think this is such a good point, and I think this is what causes a lot of chaos in the rinks is, like, parents continue to cheer after – it's like there's going to be blowouts. So, like, once you hit that 5 goal, that's the no-cheer goal.
No cheer goal.
Once you hit 5 goals, you're not allowed to cheer.
We got
to
put that on the T-shirt.
5 goals, no cheer. No cheer. No, the other team scores 1, clap for them. Right. Now it's 5-1. Now you can cheer if you make it 6-1.
Right.
But right? Five, now you get five that 5 is the goals. Threshold. Yeah, 5 is the threshold.
All right. I think that's fair enough.
Yeah. Put that on a T-shirt is right.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, you know, you say that to someone who like cares about, you know, supporting. They're like, "Oh, I'm just supporting little Johnny." No. Just have some perspective as an adult.
Mhm. So. Yeah, there's a lot of that get lost once they enter a rink.
I know. It is kind of funny, isn't it? you know, we'll walk through those doors and all of a sudden, like, you just lose all like concept of being an adult.
Yeah.
All right. I got this next one. Hey guys, question about parents at practice. My son is a first year squirt and the coach has mentioned parents shouldn't be at practice. We have a group of parents who stand on the glass and yell at their kids all practice. I hide in the corner with a zen and don't say a word. Is the coach talking about the parents joysticking their kids, or do they just not want the kids looking at their parents during practice?
Number one is the kids, they're first year squirts, so you can't drop them off and leave whenever you want, right? So, or they're not driving themselves. I would say it's that is geared directly towards the parents yelling at their kids and joysticking during
for sure.
practice. There's no, if you had 10 parents sitting in practice, just standing there watching, they're squirts. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
But I also think, you know, like, as far as this coach goes, I mean, I get what he's saying, and but you can't kick parents out of the rink, per right. se, at that age, right? So, or, you know, maybe it's an insecurity issue where you're, you know, you're thinking about what the parents are thinking because of your practice and whatnot, like, whatever it is. Like, that's, I'm just kind of like kind of spitballing here, but
yeah. Oh, you're talking from the coach.
Yeah.
That's why he doesn't want anybody, your parents. Yeah. But that any parents at practice, but they're not listening to them. They're all there yelling at the kids and joysticking them,
which is like ridiculous.
Yeah. That's insane.
It is insane. I understand why, you know, it's like, hey, you know what? I beat it, but because I'm the coach, I'm on the ice. Like, I really want them to pay attention to me versus, you know, looking over their shoulder and you know, at the parents at practice. But there,
coach needs to have nipped this in the bud early.
Yeah, and like, I don't think it's like an all or nothing, because, you know, you can't just like tell parents not to come to practice. You know, it's up to those,
yeah,
like loser parents to like maybe dial it down.
Yeah, you just got to have a meeting with the parents. Be like, "Whoa, what are you guys doing?"
Yeah,
can you imagine what the games are like if they're joysticking their kids in practice?
Yeah, right. So, I would just say, you know, that's like a, you know, difficult situation, but it can be handled very easily.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, with some like adult conversations.
Right. Right.
And I wonder if it's flavored Zen or just like the lip pillows, you know, like the dryer sheets.
We'll have to get confirmation on that, and depending on where they live, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right, TSR Hockey is located up in tax-free Salem, New Hampshire. I made the mistake of going up to TSR Hockey on Friday.
You made the mistake?
It was Black Friday. I was not thinking it at all. The place was buzzing.
I love it.
I just meant for me personally going up there on Friday.
I get it.
Because I wasn't even thinking about Christmas, like Black Friday, Christmas. I was just like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. I got a window here. I'm going to bomb up there. I needed the kids, get a couple kids for Brian and Colin, getting ready for high school stuff here. The place was, it was awesome. It was a great environment. It was really busy. It was, the store was really humming along. But I was like, I literally looked at Brendan and I go, dude, why is it so busy? He's like, it's Black Friday.
Are you like, oh, right.
I'm like, I thought that was all online now.
Well, I mean, Black Friday, but like tax-free Salem, New Hampshire. Like, it's always Black Friday there.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But maybe they just, I mean, they did. They had some great holiday deals going on. I know they had a big sales going on, and it was great to be up there. But like I said, I just wasn't anticipating the crowds.
Yeah.
That.
If you weren't there on Black Friday, like BY, make sure you check out TSRHockey.com for all your shopping needs. Tell them the shrinks on you, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. All right. Twitter question here.
Oh, nice. A little Twitter. Do you as a coach have a responsibility to confront the parents on your team if they are constantly screaming at refs or cursing in front of little kids at the rink? had a team from NRI at Waterville this weekend, and I couldn't believe the coach didn't stop it. Every game they played in from Friday to Sunday was nonstop screaming, shrieking, complaining, to the point people not even involved in the tournament complained. I just don't understand as a coach how you tolerate that behavior when it makes the whole organization look bad. I would never want my team to be the reason for our organization got a bad name. We have thrown parents out of the rink and not invited kids back the next year because of it. It's wild to me that coaches ignore this.
It is completely wild that coaches ignore it. I think it is something that is so important as coaches to start and set the precedent early. Early on in your coaching, early on in, you know, depending on their ages and you know, how old they are, like it really does stem from the coach, right? If you're going to tolerate it, like, then that's what's going to happen, right? Your parents are going to be nuts. They're going to be yelling and screaming at referees. They're going to be yelling at kids on the ice. And it's just going to be, it's like a horrible way to go through your youth hockey experience. So
yeah,
I think as a coach, you have to set the bar. You got to hold yourself to that standard, and you know, it has to be done early. If you don't do it early, then you got to find some other ways to do it. But it's embarrassing, the yelling, the getting kicked out of games, being the people that are talked about. It really is. It's a joke. It's an embarrassment.
Yeah. And like, I coach some older kids here in the split season, and you know, they're young adults, let's put it that way. Right.
Yeah.
You still have respect for the officials. And the ref came over to me one time and was like, "You're going to let this player like talk to me like that?" And like, I mean, if it was coming from the bench, I was like, "All right, let's go over here and talk."
Mm.
I go, "Do you have rabbit ears or what did he say?"
Right.
You know, like, so like you're having like a conversation versus like, I'm not yelling at him. Number one, but like, it's an emotional game, and you know, he's like, "No, this kid said," and then I was like, "Hey," and I nipped it in the bud, but the kid goes, "What, I can't tell you how I feel?" And it was like pretty interesting because he was just being honest and emotional at the time. He almost got his wrist broken like with a slash. So I was like,
yeah,
it's like, so knee-jerk reaction is usually not the right one. And he's like, and the kid's like, "I apologize if I said something that you didn't like."
His emotions got the best of him.
Yeah, but he was like, you know, old enough to like realize that. And but like, it's not, you know, it's unacceptable, like you were saying before, but like the coach needs to always be the model, right?
Yeah.
Of in the team usually reacts or acts like the coach, usually, yeah. Right?
Right.
And that's very important for coaches to understand. So, like, again, going back to being an adult and like, even though you're, like, might be steaming, you have to, like, set an example, a positive example. And, for this, like, I would say
But I would argue, Motz, like, okay, you had a conversation with the referee. You handled it calm and cool. A young kid, like a kid that's 17, 18 years old, box at the referee.
Yeah.
That's a lot different than parents in Waterville.
I agree. Yeah.
New Hampshire yelling, cursing, swearing in the stands.
Yeah. It's unacceptable.
That's like, unacceptable. I mean, like yeah, a young kid, like, I mean, how many times did you, when you're actually playing a game and you're whatever 16, 17, 18 years old, and then like you're gonna get in those little chirps with referees, like that's kind of the nature of the game, right?
I actually still never did like that. Like, I mean, like maybe
can't tell me there wasn't certain times where you would snap on a referee, just like I 100% would snap on a referee,
yeah, but not to the
as a player though,
disrespect, right? Not.
Like, yeah, but like similar to like I could picture myself at 17, 18 years old saying to a ref like, "Hey, he almost beeping broke my wrist. Like,
right.
Couple more choice words like that. And then if the referee wants to tee me up, then, hey, you know what? Or talk to my coach about it. Then I take a deep breath and I handle it. But that's a 17-year-old kid. That's like you handling it on the ice, not.
Right. Well, that's not parents yelling from the stands.
That's not parents yelling for the stands, swearing in front of a bunch of little kids at a youth hockey tournament.
So we'll get back to the question here. Is it the coach's responsibility to confront the parents?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yes.
Even though, like, you know.
But the coach is obviously the.
But, like, sometimes, like, when you're on the bench, you can't hear. Like, obviously, like, from this kind of situation, I'm sure everyone could hear because but a lot of times you don't hear it. Like, oh, well, like, I didn't. I was like focused on, like, you know, who's up next, like this, that, whatever, like just coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's better to be behind the bench versus in the stands.
Right.
But
so you're saying if the coach doesn't know what's going on, how should it be handled?
Yes. But I mean, I'm sure, like, in this situation, it's like obviously a problem, right?
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it stinks that the coach has to parent or coach the parents, but I would say, yeah, it does fall on the coach to at least address it.
Right.
Which stinks. I mean, like, it shouldn't even be come to that, but I think that does fall on the coach to be like, hey, listen, these kids, you know, like, you can put it back on the kids. Like, it'd be like, hey, this is my job. I don't need to be dealing with this, but, like, it has to stop.
But, so my point is it coming from the coach's attitude is the one that,
well,
you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, are the parents running wild because the coach is a nut as well, and they've all these parents.
It doesn't seem that way, though, on this one.
Well, that just wasn't it. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
maybe that's just how I view it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if the coach knows about it,
he has to step up.
He's got to step up, or the organization definitely does.
Which is kind of ridiculous that he would have to do that. But I would say in this situation, yes, the coach has to step up.
Yeah. Glad I just ratted on myself saying that I just referee. But you can, like, picture yourself.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As a kid, in the moment that you were talking about, or even as a in college or pro, like, having some, like, jogging back and forth with the referee, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
And
yeah,
that was more the point. Like, as a young kid, there's nothing that drives me more about the kids that drives me more crazy than the kids with the hands thing. I'd rather you yell at me, like, than do the oh, it wasn't me, or put the hands up. I hate that.
It's
looking for a call.
I coached a kid, and it was, like, unfortunate, but that was, like, his default reaction.
Yeah.
And it's like bad body language, number one.
Oh, it's so bad.
And the kid's a nice kid. It just, but that's what he used to do. And I'm like, oh man, like, you gotta stop doing that.
You're just a sulker.
No, you have to. Like, if you want to have any, say, success, like, I'm sorry. Like, it's just a knee jerk for him to do that. And I'm like, oh.
Did he ever figure it out? Probably not.
No. Well, that's fine. All right, I get the next one. No, I tried. But
Yeah, you had your guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a first year squirt, very talented, very advanced skater. I've skated my whole life and played junior hockey, and I got nothing for him. He plays on top U10 team for his program. It's a lower A. We love the program he plays for. The coaching is great. The families are great. We get ice whenever we want it. The only thing we are struggling with is the depth of talent in the program. There are 13 kids that play on this team, and after the top five or six kids, the talent just falls off the cliff. My question is, do you think it's good for kids to play up? If not, why? Also, because of the lack of talent, we can't be placed on a higher division. So the better kids get boarded because we ask them to throttle back. At what point does this stunt development, and what should we do? This is coming from a concerned coach slash parent who just wants the right thing for all the kids and keep having fun.
I mean, I read this as the kid seems to be developing pretty well for a first year squirt. They're getting a ton of ice time.
Yeah.
Love the program. Coaching's great. Families are great.
Yeah, love the kids. Yeah.
Kids, like, not some depth, but I think those kids are going to get better because you just said it, tons of ice time, good coaching. You got 13 players on the team, so, you know, maybe the top five or six are really good, and then there's a bit of a drop-off. But, again, they're first-year squirt, so I think you they're going to get coached up, and they're going to be okay by the end of the season, right? So,
yeah, it's early.
I wouldn't be too concerned right now.
No, I wouldn't be concerned. I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, if, you know, five or six out of the 13 are kind of like solid, and then it's really like 50-50 on, you know, talent versus not. And like,
I would have just taken 10.
Right. As far as, you know, as a coach, this is kind of a question that, I mean, would you find yourself coaching to the lower group or to the higher group?
I mean, we've talked about
it. Question. Yeah.
It is a tough question. Yeah. We've talked about it. I think it's all about that balance. It really is. You can't just like coach. You got to try to bring up the bottom kids, but you also got to continue to develop those top end kids, right? And they're getting plenty of ice time. Maybe at certain points you split them up into different stations. The coaching is really good. So, you know, you split them up maybe by skill level in certain areas, but then you integrate them as much as you can to get those kids on the bottom half to play with the top end kids.
Right. I agree with you. But it is, in again, this coach slash parent is happy with a lot of things, but also you need to be able to understand that it's not a super team, right? Like it's not, the depth is not there. So you have to be patient with the kids who aren't there. And they will come along enough throughout the season, as long as the coaching is exactly what you were saying. Like, you need to push them, but you also need to push the top end kids. So like constructing, it could be stations, it could be just drills, but being patient with the kids that can't maybe execute. Right. So, but you still want to keep exposing the right things to the kids that aren't there, and then the other kids, then you just have a level of expectation that they need to be able to execute, you know, consistently. Who cares if the kid can't do it, you know, like you give the puck, expect the back type thing,
right?
If you can't do it, then you can't, like, you know, beat that player up. It's more about, hey, you know, just keep encouraging. And then, like, there is some patience that has to come along with that, number one, as a parent, player, and coach.
Do you think it's good for kids to play up?
In the right situations, yes.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you don't chase it, but it's also, you know, it can be very valuable for a player that maybe is a little more advanced at a certain age. But, I mean, there's rules in place here, you know, this – this seems, I don't know where this player.
I don't know where they are.
But I also feel that you don't want to chase it just to chase it. And if you're getting a ton of ice and you like the coach and you like the family and the experience is good, you just got to be patient. And, you know, these kids will get better throughout the year.
They'll get better. And I would say at this point, right, they're for their first year squirts, right? Year squirts. Like, you're going to see such a difference between first-year squirt, second-year squirt,
oh, yeah.
first-year peewee,
yep.
First year.
This is like a big time of like, you know, like you see that growth. You're right.
As they get older.
Yes.
Right? Like right now, I hate to say it doesn't matter, but don't get too caught up in it. Like just kind of enjoy it, have fun. You love, like there's no perfect scenario.
No.
Right? So, but like 90% of this seems really good. And then, you know, hey, if another 2-3 years go by and there's those same six kids down the bottom half haven't developed,
well, then they're like, going to be gone. Yeah.
They're going to be gone. Like, or maybe
you make a move. Yeah.
You got to make a move. But until then, they're young. They're still very young. And
no, I agree.
It's not the be all end all. Maybe you try to supplement things to play some summer tournaments or spring hockey, right? Not encouraging too much of it, but if you can play something, your kid's really good, you want to play with the team full of 15 kids on it that are all really, really good.
Right.
Try to do some stuff like that and just gather, you know, gain the experience from it. But again, it's not the, like, I don't know.
No, I think you're right there. I mean, and again, it goes back to the coaching. If the coaching is solid, then just trust the coach in the process. And if you are coaching, then maybe take a, you know, couple ideas of what we just talked about. You know, and you have to have some patience though with like the lower group, or if you want to call it that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, one of the hottest things about traveling to youth hockey terms is deciding on places to eat, Mots. But we all know it's a no-brainer. If you're heading down the I-95, Connecticut, Westchester area, or if you're in Maryland, Virginia, or Florida, there's probably a Colony Grill close by. Bring the team in, order it to the hotel, pick up a steaming hot pie on the way to the rink. You'll agree that the hot oil pizza lives up to that hot oil hype. Find the nearest location near your next rink by going to colonygrill.com. Again, it's the famous pizza. It's the best hot oil pie. It's
I'm starving right now. Dude,
I want it so bad.
I'm starving. So I think
razor thin crust, Mots. You'd be able to eat. You talked about four Thanksgiving plates.
Yeah.
You might be able to eat four Colony Grill pies.
Challenge maybe five. I'm always a one upper, I guess.
Yeah, guess I'm gonna have to do five.
Fine, whatever.
But hey, if it's a five goal differential,
you don't clap.
I'm at zero, we can't celebrate you.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean? You can't rub it in my face.
I'll be clapping one through four, and then once I get the fifth pie in my face, I won't clap.
Right. Unless, but then if I stop catching up, if I look like Joey Chestnut but eating pizzas, and you know, now I get like two under my belt, and now we can start the clapping again.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a good threshold.
Okay, all right.
Good. But make sure you check out ColonyGrill.com if you're in the Connecticut, Westchester area, Virginia, or Florida. And you will not be disappointed by the hot oil hype.
No, I can't wait to get down to Mid-Fairfield, play some hockey. It's coming up very soon for us. And we'll be taking the team to the Colony Grill, which I am pumped about, right around the corner.
Yeah, and I think we should be doing a live episode down there. And, you know,
You know what? We should actually look at – I got to look at the schedule and see when I'm going down, and we'll just
hang it out.
Set it up. Definitely.
Yeah, we could have like real interviews with people coming in and ordering their hot oil, you know?
Yeah, the only issue is going to be me and you are going to be in food comas.
I know. We will be.
That's we'll good. Be all right. We'll be all right. We could survive.
Yeah, yeah, we'll grind. We're veterans. I got this one here. Dear Shrinks, my son plays on an elite club team. It's 2013 Squirt Major here in Eastern Mass. He played 2 years at defense and is in his second year at wing. He skates very well, has excellent vision, and makes good decisions with the puck and plays well off the puck. While he's not the craftiest stick handler, he's got above average hands and is a very accurate passer. From my perspective, it feels like the right thing for his development is to begin learning the center position. There are other boys who have played center exclusively over the last several years. The positions for all players seem to be set. The coach's philosophy is that at the squirt level, there really aren't defined positions. There's just F1, F2, F3, but there's no rotation of positions. What are your thoughts?
There's a lot to take in here. 2013 seems like he's a, you know, pretty good player. I'm at a loss for words a little bit.
I just think at this age, it's good to like see all positions, right? Like, so, you know, he was a defenseman, moved to the wing, you know, center is center, whatever, but who really cares?
Yeah. This parent.
No, I know. What I'm saying though is like center is like a spot eventually that is pretty meaningful for, you know, defensive situations, maybe gaining a little more speed. You have a little bit more room to gain some speed, but playing wing and like being a good passer and like understanding like the wing, like I just think being a forward in particular is important. The wingers are like, we've talked about this at length, but like as they get older, the wing position is very difficult in spaces on the wall in the D zone to consistently make the right play or right decision to gain a zone or to make a play, because you're going to be having, you know, say F3 coming over the top or the D pinching. Like, there's a lot that like the game is all around you. Center is, you know, one of those areas where you have to be an extension of the D eventually. Right now, that's not a chance, right? 2013, they're just playing forward and they're playing D. Like, those are the two separators, right? Yeah. You know, of position. So I don't think this should be overthought. It doesn't really matter on some level. Yeah, if you get reps at center, great. But I don't think it should be a, you know, topic of discussion, in my opinion,
this sounds like a hockey parent that really doesn't know a lot about the game.
Yeah, I mean, right?
Because it's like you're so caught up in the positions of things.
Yeah,
like it's just the coach seems to know what he's talking about. In the offensive zone, it's like go have fun and make plays. There's F1, F2, F3, right?
Especially at this age. Yes,
at this age. So it's like, just why are you so concerned about the positions?
Yeah, well, I mean,
I guess you could definitely rotate things, right? You could bounce them around a little bit, yeah. But I feel like a lot of coaches, you know, they play right wings on the right. You know what I mean? They play righties on the right wing. They play lefties on the left wing. Then centers are kind of probably your, you know, kids that
better skaters,
yeah. Maybe a little bit stronger and things like that. So. Again, like I just wouldn't be so caught up in the positions.
I totally agree. But I think it would be beneficial to be able to experience those positions. But it shouldn't be, you know, like I said, topic of discussion or like hung up on if it's not happening.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. I just don't. Yeah, just like. Don't worry about it. And maybe if you're blowing a team up someday, talk to the coach and say, hey, why don't you rotate the positions a little bit, right?
Or just be like, hey, Johnny wants to, you know, give
a little center.
Yeah. I mean, and if he's like, no, we like him on the wing, then you just deal with it. It's like it shouldn't be an issue. But I do like that he played D and also now he's a winger or a forward. So it's like, you know, he was able to see a little bit of both, you know, already. So I'd be interested to know
why they're taking him off of D and putting him up at forward.
Yeah, no, that's probably, you know, a good, I mean, like I know, like
was it his skating, or maybe they just see him as like a big, strong, power forward type of kid.
Yeah. I know, like, for example,
up and down the wing.
Ryan played D, my son.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good when he had the puck on his stick. The play was in front of him, but his skating was a little blocky and his pivoting, so he was getting beat a lot. Like, you know, it just wasn't like a defenseman defend type situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like where, like, you know, you take an angle or whatever it was. So when he went to forward, you know, he felt more comfortable as a player, as, you know, like, because he was getting frustrated because he was getting turned and wasn't
right.
Just, you know, so I don't know if that's the case with this this player here, but like some kids are actual defensemen, like good lateral movement or whatever, close skating backwards or can pivot and recover. Mm-hmm. So you never know. Like it could be skating, but you know, either way, it's really good to see both sides, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, it definitely is. It definitely is. But yeah, I mean, I think that they could, it'll all work itself up. Don't get too hung up on the old position thing.
Yeah. Especially if it's just forward right now. But like maybe have a conversation, be like, hey, you know, we'd like to, get a couple reps at center if possible, just for him to see it, you know,
mm-hmm.
But it's not the end all be all.
You're right. Definitely. Definitely. All right. Now it is time for the My Hockey Rankings question of the week. MyHockeyRankings.com. Obviously, you know, great partners of us here with the Rink Shrinks. Mots, your favorite Christmas movie?
Ooh. Oh.
That is going to be a tough one.
I'm going to go off the board, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Family Man with Nicolas Cage and Tia Leone.
I got to look this up.
It's actually pretty good. I really enjoy it.
I got to just see if I've ever seen it. I feel like I definitely have. Early 2000s here.
Yeah. So he ends up, you know, it's a glimpse into what his life would have been like. Because he dated this girl. But he was like, he's like this successful financial guy in New York, and then next thing you know, he gets a glimpse into what it would have been like if he stayed with his girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've seen this a hundred times. Yeah,
it's a good
Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's around Christmas. I'm gonna call it a Christmas movie.
Mots.
No, hey, if you've seen it, then you know
it's around Christmas. I think it has to be like an actual Christmas movie.
No, he put together present. It's around Christmas time. I think it's a Christmas movie.
Just because Christmas happened in the movie.
So that's why I said it was off the board. It was off the board.
All right.
So that's what I'm going with. What about you?
I got a bunch. I'm going to go with, I mean, Home Alone.
Oh, my God. Basic.
Is number one. It's like the favorite Christmas movie since I was a little kid. It's not brutal. You're brutal, you and your foolish Family Man. Guy put together a Toys R Us set and, you know, like all of a sudden. And then I was going to say National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's what I was going to go with. That's probably my number one. And then Home Alone's two. And then, I don't know.
Christmas like Story?
No.
You're not a big, you know.
I was not. What I'm trying to think of is another movie that doesn't have anything to do with Christmas like you. But so is Die Hard? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
That's a good question. Is it? It was based around a Christmas party.
I know. Family Man is, so it must be Die Hard.
I'm serious. I think I saw that was someone was like, "Hey, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?"
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of is.
Yeah.
Do you? I mean, clearly you do.
Yeah, because he had a
Christmas Elf.
Oh, Elf is a good one.
Yeah. What about Bad Santa? That a Christmas movie?
No, it was just all right. I'm not a huge fan, but Elf is
good.
So just really, if you think about it, like shows that are on that you don't like, that you don't scroll over, you don't change the channel. So like Elf, I'll watch Elf like if it's 1,000%.
Sunday night, I was in like a bad, I had National Lampoon's, Home Alone, and Elf all going at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
It was pretty good. But it was like, you know how you get caught up in one, then you flip back because now it's a commercial?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you flip you back and you miss a little of that one.
Yeah.
So I was just...
You're just surfing.
I was surfing.
But between three good ones.
Yeah, real good ones.
Yeah.
So...
But you definitely saw Kevin, beating up the burglars, right?
Oh, the wet bandits?
The wet bandits.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, so Family Man is definitely a Christmas movie.
100%. I guess I haven't seen it in so long. It came out in 2000, and it's not like... It's definitely not... They don't show it more because of the... It's around Christmas time.
I'm going to guarantee that it's going to be on this month.
All right.
And I'm going to take a picture of it and be like, hey.
Yeah, get the popcorn ready.
Yeah. No, I really enjoy that film. I think that's one of my favorites. I mean, obviously the, you know, Christmas Vacation is like just a staple, but.
Oh.
So I went off the board, and you disagreed a little bit.
The fact that even popped into your head is kind of like,
yeah,
you're a sick person.
Kind of ridiculous, but that is what happened. Yeah,
that is. I'm trying to think of any other movies now that just like have, you know, just like little glimpses of Christmas. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
Jersey Shore with a banger.
What'd he say?
Eight Crazy Nights.
Oh, that's a good one.
Dude, I love that movie. In college, we watched that all the time.
Oh, Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can? Is that like a Family Man type?
No. It was when Leonardo DiCaprio, it's like based on true events.
No, I know exactly what the movie is. But
yeah, but he got arrested on Christmas. in France.
In France.
Yeah.
So it's a Christmas movie that's not really a Christmas movie. It's just like something happened on Christmas.
Right.
Like the Family Man. So that's a great call.
The Grinch. Yeah.
Frosty. Frosty. Eight Crazy Nights was legit. That's a fantastic movie.
Technical foul.
It's a technical foul.
That's a good one. Animation.
Go to bed in Dukesbury. Wake up in Pukesbury. I love it. Any Adam Sandler movie.
Hey, good mailbag, by the way.
Good mailbag. Great questions. Looking forward to catching up on more. Especially once tryouts and the first few games have kind of settled here with the high school season. So we're already getting some good ones. So exciting times. Keep up the good work. Thanks to everybody. And once again, the show is presented by Bet Online. And it is time to cue the Rink Shrink Shuffle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.